Welcome. We are the Projectile Lunchcast, a group of friends with a combined professional video games industry experience of over 20 years. More importantly, we have collectively been discussing video games for close to a century, including during most of our lunch breaks. People forced to witness these arguments kept telling us to just get a room and make a podcast. So that's what we did. We don't think they had any idea what they were bargaining for, yet here we are. And we couldn't be more excited to have you, dear listener, join us on this adventure.
Episode of Projectile Lunchcast, episode 63, in fact. My name is Marcel. I am stoked to have as many of you as there are with us today, or whenever you're listening to this, but I guess whenever you listen to this is today for you, so today. And Basti is not here, but instead I'm super happy, like I have a huge announcement. Richard, from being here three episodes in a row, you've been upgraded from a guest to a timed contract intern.
Love it.
Of the Projectile Lunchcast.
Yeah. Hey, there's nothing wrong with starting out as an intern. It's a great way to get your foot in the door of any industry that you may or may not regret working in at any point in time in the future.
Any?
Any. And I'm talking
about intern toy like intern child soldier.
You can do that. Yeah. You got to really impress upon them that you won't grow up Peter Pan style, because like by the time you start hitting the entry level stuff and you're already a teenager, like it's like, I don't know if you can really be child soldier, but at that point you can get possibly mocap work in a Kojima game.
Sure, I think you're right. Pass?
Which one?
No, what was the girl like? What was the kid's name in was Ground Zero?
Oh yeah, that was Paz, but like also Five had a section where you are like actively being hunted by child soldiers.
Well, you know, just for the record, of course, the Projectile Lunchcast official stance on child soldiering is it's bad.
It's not good. You do get a game over if you kill the child soldiers.
Interesting.
Very Kojima. It's the most Kojima thing.
You know, like, there's this weird thing. Oh, yeah, but at least, you know, like, that's consequent. Like, you know, it's right. Like, okay, you kill these, you should do that, game over. Whereas, you know, like, it seems a criticism that has been coming up a lot this year, aimed specifically, for example, at The Last of Us 2, is, like, this thing of, like, oh, no, player, like, the thing you're doing that we as game designers force you to do, that's bad. You should feel bad about the thing you're doing that we force you to do.
That's interesting. I think
Kojima's not as bad as you always say he is.
It could be. We should talk about Last of Us 2 at some point, maybe during a Game of the Year discussion.
Is it right now on your top 10? I guess by default of you know like lack of having played more, it's in your top 10, right?
I don't think I've played 10 games from this year. I've played more
exactly
than 10. Yeah, I've played more than 10 games this year, but I don't think I've played 10 games from 2020 this year. I'd have to look. I doubt it. And even then, I don't know if I liked them enough to be like, yeah, game of the year. But yeah, no, we'll talk about Last of Us 2. It's up there for me right now, but I haven't really put a ton of thought into it.
It's gonna be. I'm very much looking forward. You know, with all the games coming out, and I'm very much looking forward to seeing who will be the successor to Control, which was the inaugural first ever Projectile Lunchcast Game of the Year.
Game of the Year runner up.
Remedy.
Yep, second place. It was great. I'm looking forward to seeing who can take over the second place mantle as well.
Alas, that's not for today, because there's still a bunch of games coming out that, you know, may have a stab at... you see what I did there? Like, stab? Huh? Like, get a stab? Stab, stabby, stab?
Was that an Assassin's Creed thing?
Oh, I guess there's a lot of games these days where it can stab people, but I think Assassin's Creed has been known to be about stabbing dudes. And do that, you know, it's like an equal opportunity get stabbed.
Everybody's getting stabbed.
Yeah, you know, everybody wants to rule the world like they did in that one trailer. And then you told me that it was a cover version of a song.
It unfortunately was a cover version of a song. A sad piano cover version.
But it was one of the first ones. So I feel like we can cut it some slack because that was at the start of the slow piano. And now this year, of course, with X going to give it to you, we reached a peak.
Fucking give it to you is the worst example of this.
Honestly, I didn't recognize it. Like, afterwards, I saw people on Twitter talk about, like, why the fuck did they have a slow, sad piano version of X going to give it to you in the Xbox showcase? And I was like, they did?
Yeah, well, that game quickly fell off. I mean, you know, Remedy's not really known for producing memorable games, I guess. But, it was either that, or was it, which game did the Linkin Park one? That was also bad.
Linkin Park one?
It's a card game. I think it might have been Magic.
Oh, yeah, Magic, yeah, yeah. They had a commercial with
slow Linkin Park in there. Slow Linkin Park's pretty bad. Did Assassin's Creed have a slow, popular song this year?
I don't think so. This year they had they have music. I mean, there's like three different composers contributing mm-hmm. to Assassin's Creed this year. And I just remember like one of them I was not aware of. Until you know, like somebody pointed out to me, like, hey, you know, it's the same guy who has like a folk metal band. I just remember like seeing a picture of him, and I showed it to my fiance, and she was like, yeah, obviously this is the guy doing the music for Assassin's Creed Valhalla, because he looks like he's been voted the most likely person to pillage a British monastery every year while he was in high school. Like, grade A Viking right there. He also does music for Vikings, I believe, incidentally. Oh,
wow. Well, you got to do that. That is Viking-looking like Vikings. We've worked with a couple of Viking-looking people.
True. Yeah. True. There was one, but like this one, yeah. Like he again, like you saw that guy, and you were like, of course he's doing music for Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
He's born for it.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, his name is Einar Selvik,
mm-hmm.
I believe. And let me look up what his other band is. I forgot. He is the founder of a Nordic folk metal band called Vardruna, but he was also before the drummer of kind of famous, you know, in the underground black metal band Gorgoroth.
So I will take your word for all of that. that happens. Isn't the main dude in Hades their audio director?
This one I don't know.
But, I think that's the case. Audio directors, man, they show up in things.
But yeah, like Hades is a great game, and like I don't know, like everybody online talks about how horny that game is. Like, it never occurred to me, but like maybe I'm just not the being horny about animated characters kind of guy.
I have played about 5 minutes of Hades, and I also do not understand what parts would be considered horny.
Maybe it's just like, you know, people being horny on main. But anyways, Richard, I think there's a lot of news to go through.
Yeah.
I just want to say, you know, for the record, I want to place on the record my gratefulness for you being here. And since you're here and Bust is not, let me just say that the entire time while you were not here, I missed you so much and I always liked you way more than Busty now that he's not here.
Hey, man, I like me way more than Busty, too. I appreciate it.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I would say, like, if I had a choice between me and Basti, I would pick me every time.
I don't know, like, for myself, like, 9 times out of 10, mm-hmm. When I stand in front of the mirror, I think to myself, man, I love that guy.
Yeah.
And the 10th time, I think to myself, this is pretty fucking weird, standing in the mirror and thinking about loving yourself.
But you do that every morning, so I don't think it's fair to say 9 times out of 10 when all 10 times are your morning ritual.
Yes, definitely. So there's been a lot of gaming news, so let's switch gears to gaming news. First of all, last week we saw like the full breadth of, you know, things that are going to happen as we transition to this bright new next generation of mm-hmm. gaming goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Because we saw, you know, so like one of the big things right now is that thankfully, and I think this is great, it's not something that, you know, maybe I think like this games industry has like given people a lot of reason to be cynical. And yeah. So maybe a lot of people were not expecting it, but I think like one trend that I've quite liked so far is that a lot of games, namely, of course, like a lot of ongoing, you know, games as a service games are getting free upgrades.
Yeah.
For next generation, you know, like higher frame rates, higher resolutions.
Yeah.
There's only been a few examples. of games who are charging for that, and
is
they
it
should
EA?
Rightfully be shamed. No, it's not EA.
Okay.
It's 2K games.
Damn you, 2K
games. It's Call of Duty. You know, which is kind of weird, because on the one hand, I totally understand companies saying, you know, maybe it's time to raise prices a little bit, because like they've been stagnant for a very long time. That's true.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I think to myself, you know, if the first two games that are raising the prices are annual games that have a ton of in-game monetization that are always among like the top five best-selling games of the year.
Yeah.
I think maybe, you know, that's like a harder to swallow message for people. It's like, oh, those games that make a ton of money every year, they need to charge more. You know, maybe there's could have been other games, you know, leading the charge. That was what I was thinking about that.
Exactly. I think we've talked about this before, like the $60 video game, it's easy for them to say, well, we've been charging $60 for video games forever when, I mean, the name of the game for at least the last 10, 15 years has been, how can we charge more than $60 per game?
But that's awesome.
Of course it is. It is. And, you know, it works for some people and it doesn't work for others. And I'm not shaming the concept. I think it's reductive to say something like, well, games, you know, games have been 60 forever. It's like, yeah, they've been 60 unless you want, you know, the experience with all the DLC or the season pass or the whatever. If you like games a lot, there's more ways to spend money on it. And, you know, Call of Duty has done every slice of that, right? I mean, it has a season pass. It has microtransactions. It has, you know, a battle pass, right?
Call of Duty Black Ops 4, I believe, in my mind, was the most heavily and egregiously monetized retail game ever.
I mean,
so far,
discounting,
sure, like, somebody will top it at some point.
Like discounting sports games, you mean? Like discounting like NBA 2K?
No, even more so than
I wow. Like
just like from the variety of angles, like, you know, you had a full retail game, you had a map pass, or like, you know, a the Call of Duty, whatever it was called at the time, like there was another $50, like map packs. Mm-hmm. But then you also had microtransactions, individual, like you had loot boxes, you had currency, like the Call of Duty points.
Yeah.
It had everything. Like it had the whole shebang of let's throw all monetization methods at this game and see what happens.
Yeah.
But like, you know, that's I think that's enough shaming the bad stuff. Like, let's talk about the good stuff for once.
Right, yeah.
Because one of the games that is getting a nice next-gen update, and it's even going to be there day and date, you know, with the launch of the consoles, is from known philanthropist and a good person, Randy Pitchford.
Known hydro magician appreciator, Randy
Pitchford. He has been known to, you know, support struggling young webcam artists.
Mm-hmm. Magic. The Gathering.
Yeah.
So they're
actually, real talk. I don't think he's such a nice person. Probably.
He sounds like maybe not. I mean, I'd have lunch with him.
But like, you would like make sure like afterwards that like all your possessions were still, like, you would pat yourself down, right?
I would only bring $20 to that lunch, like in my sock.
You'd be like, is all my money still here? Are all my teeth still here?
Yeah.
All my gold fillings? Everything still present?
If I went to lunch with Randy Pitchford and didn't wake up in a bathtub full of ice with a kidney missing, like, I'd be like, this is a pretty good lunch.
It was a good lunch.
But what did he do? So you're talking about Borderlands 3.
Indeed. Borderlands 3 is getting a free next-gen update. Quite nice, actually. They say that single player and co-op will be 4K 60. Mm-hmm. On the, you know, whenever we talk about this, like, we're kind of ignoring the Xbox Series S, like we're talking about the full fat Xbox X, which is the one that they pre-ordered.
Yeah.
And the PS5.
Which one did you
and
pre-order?
Also, the PS5.
Okay.
But what I think is also nice, like, and what is really, like, because I think you will see a lot of updates that like raise resolutions or something. But what I think is really nice here, what they're doing for Borderlands is like they're adding new functionality. That on next-gen machines, they will have 3 and 4 player split-screen local co-op, which before was just 2 players. So I think that is actually like a something worth commending them for, because, you know, like adding new functionality, new features, I think is going to be something that not a lot of games are going to do, probably.
Adding a split-screen in today's day and age is already worth a little golf clap for. But yeah, this is neat. And it seems like both of these new boxes are just chuckling at 4K 60, like it's easy for all of them, huh?
Well, at least, you know, for older games.
Yeah, sure.
So that was the good news. Like, we have the good, the bad, and the ugly. So the good news is all the Borderlands stuff. The bad news is...
That's the good news?
That's the good news. Borderlands is the good news.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Where are we going to end up? The bad news is that Destiny 2 is also doing a nice next-gen update. It's going to be 60 FPS.
You just, 4K. That's such a Freudian slip. You're talking about Destiny.
The sexy, oh yeah, the sexy FPS. Mm-hmm. 60 FPS, 4K on the big machine, full machines. But that's only unfortunately going to come on December 8th, so roughly a month after the launch of the new consoles and Beyond Light, which is of course a little bit of a shame, because I'm sure, you know, a lot of people would have appreciated discovering Europa, which is shaping up to look quite sexy indeed. You know, at 4K 60, especially I think like the frame rate is gonna. I think like the two biggest things that are gonna make a difference for console players who've never experienced Destiny on PC is the frame rate, because it feels so much smoother, and it's even a smooth game, you know, with 30.
Yeah.
And the loading times, because holy fucking god, the loading times in console Destiny are really hard to bear these days.
What do you think about the addition of FOV options for console players? That's kind of fucking neat.
That is very neat indeed. Because
you don't see console kids do that at all.
Yeah, it's very rare. And you know me, I've had in the past many times have like issues with motion sickness or so with like low FOV in games. So any game that offers that option, I think, is awesome personally. Yes,
it's really interesting, like watching the multiplayer meta, like the very few videos I would watch on the multiplayer meta where people were like talking about, is this gun worth getting for multiplayer, right? And like watching these creators have to like split it up between PC and console because of like FOV and mouse and keyboard and all that shit. Like it's going to be interesting to see where that goes from there.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then we had, as the final thing, so we had one game update that's going to come at launch, one that's been delayed a little bit, and then one, the ugly, that's been delayed a lot.
Yeah.
And that is unfortunately Marvel's Avengers, which have delayed their next gen version into 2021 without any further, you know, concrete month, season, quarter, anything at all. And they also delayed the release of their first post-launch hero, Kate Bishop, out of October.
The fuck,
which hopefully,
here?
Ideally means November, but like it's just delayed out of October for now.
What happened?
AIM?
What? No, it wasn't AIM.
The...
All right, you come up with a more professional... You come up with a more no, it wasn't Hydra? Hugo. It wasn't Hugo Weaving either. You come up with a more professional theory than mine, which is they thought that they made a pile of shit and moved all their people to different stuff before being reassured that anything with the Avengers logo on it just dukes money out, and so they had to move everyone back in to it real quick to get all that content out.
I'm thinking if maybe they're going to save the next gen versions for the, or like, you know, try to align that with the launch of Spider-Man on PlayStation to have like a kind of, you know, a PS5 launch of the game, so to speak.
Like, wait, no, like the character or the game?
The character.
Yeah, okay.
The exclusive one.
Okay. Are they going to change
over with for?
Maybe they'll put Spider-Man in and then change his face randomly. That could be fun.
I actually kind of like the new face. I don't know what people are hating for.
I just don't get why you do it. Like, it looked fine. Well, how do I say that? I get why they would do it to make it look more like the mocap guy, but is that a thing that really needed to happen? It's weird. It's just weird. It's not worth hate. It's just fucking weird. Were all the other actors in that game... like the mocap faces?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
All right. I thought you would have known at least if Mary Jane was a real person.
I'm not the kind of guy that would, like, you know, obsess over virtual Red Hat characters from comics or fantasy games.
Of course not.
Exactly. Because that would be weird.
That would be weird. Well, I personally am... I'll be honest, man, the only thing I fucking am looking forward to with Avengers content is just hearing your ongoing impressions of Avengers content. Like, the rest I don't give a shit about.
Well, I'm sure I'll share it in due course.
That would be great. At the right
appropriate time with you all.
That'd be the best.
So, you know, I mean, they just right before we recorded this, they also announced, which is kind of cool, that Microsoft is going to release a free update for the Halo Master Chief Collection for next gen a week after launch, including 4K 120 for the single player campaigns.
Damn.
Which, you know, that's definitely a new one for consoles. Obviously, you know, they're old games, but yeah, still, it's cool.
Did they put an extra game in there that they said they weren't going to put in there? Or am I just...
Yeah, Reach and ODST are there now. They were not there at launch. Like, it launched with just the Master Chief Saga.
Yeah. No, because 3 took a while to get in there, too.
3 was there at launch. On the console launch, at least.
On the console launch, okay.
And with PC, they released them, like, step by step, like, one game at a time.
I see. Okay. Because, like, I still haven't played...
should be fully caught up by the end of the year as well.
I still haven't played 3.
Yeah, I should finish that fight. I think 3 is, like, single player, it's one of the best Halos.
Really? I dug the other two.
Just saying.
Yeah, so I guess all I'm missing is 3 and ODST from... Well, and then, you know, I guess, like, 4 and 5, but... Who knows if I can make it that far?
ODST is a really good one.
That's what I hear. So
really unusual, but like a really good one.
I have the two good ones ahead of me. Which order should I play them in?
3 first, because ODST is like a side story that happens during the events of 3.
Okay, all right. I'll try to.
But
I'll
it
try
has it has it has Castle.
Do you think there is that?
What's his name? Nathan Fillion, right?
Is that Nathan Fillion?
Yeah.
Love me some Nathan Fillion.
He's Buck.
Can't get enough of that Nathan Fillion. Castle. You can't... Look, you got to get your nerd right, man. With our audience, you got to refer to him as, like, Captain Mal.
Is that from Firefly?
It is.
Well, I'm sure Asia would appreciate that, because she named her cat, I think, after... Like, is Washburn, is that from Firefly?
Yeah, man. Oh, that's fucking cool.
You know, I've never seen that. I just know that the lady of my house likes to watch Castle, and, like, I think at a certain point... Maybe at the start she found it funny... And, like, at a certain point, she probably got annoyed. Whenever I walked past, it was like, hey, it's Buck, or hey, look, it's Cade. So.
Oh, I forgot that he was Cade. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, let's maybe, you know, take a moment of silence for Cade 6.
One less and fucking Colonel. Annoying Destiny character. Wait a minute. Hey, hold on. Is Failsafe getting fucking vaulted?
Is she? I don't know.
That would be dope.
Could be.
Also, man, you didn't tell me that they just end up, like, killing those fucking NPCs.
That's just a fan theory.
Oh. I thought it was, like, they were dying in missions.
No.
No, okay.
If they're dying, then they're currently dying off-screen. I guess they're dying once, you know, Beyond Light is here off-screen. Who knows?
I see.
Moving on.
Yes.
In some, I guess this is like the busty memorial moment of this episode, in some Xbox Game Pass news. Ubisoft and Microsoft have announced that Rainbow Six Siege, a hugely popular multiplayer game, is coming to Xbox Game Pass this very week. Which, so that made me curious to think, you know, like to look at like which companies are the holdouts right now. And I have to say that from major companies, I cannot find a lot... except for Activision. Because just looking through the list today, on Xbox Game Pass, I found games from Bethesda, Bungie, EA, Warner Brothers, Paradox, THQ Nordic, Codemasters, Sega, Capcom, Bandai Namco, Square Enix, Rebellion, Focus Home Entertainment, Rockstar Games, Devolver Digital, Team 17, and more. So it feels like really, you know, like, it feels like Smash Brothers of you know, subscription services. Like, everybody's here now, right?
Everybody's here. There's a lot. That's a lot. Is this, I'm guessing, how much parity is there between PC Game Pass and console Game Pass?
I don't want to put a percentage on it. I would say probably the majority is, I feel.
Both.
It's on both, yeah. Like, you know, it's like parity. But... Yeah. Both of them obviously have, you know, separate games. I guess with Rainbow Six, for example, maybe I wouldn't expect it to come to PC would be my guess because there's Uplay Plus as a separate subscription. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you have stuff like Crusader Kings 3 or MechWarrior on the PC side that are not available on console right now. So,
Damn. And what, it, like, it, PC Game Pass is what, $10 a month now? They raise that?
I believe so. I don't know. I just have,
you have
Xbox
Ultimate,
Game Pass Ultimate.
What, did which you do is the, weird. Like, dollar thing forever?
I did that, like, at the start, yeah.
That's fucking genius.
Yeah, you know, maybe I should just switch to PC now that I sold my Xbox.
Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. Now that you're Xbox-less with no Xbox, and you didn't,
well,
you didn't
it's
even...
Still, it's still right next to me. I think, like, it's... No, by the time, like, this episode is out, it will have sold on eBay.
Oh, okay, okay. So the auction is ongoing.
It's currently
ongoing. You should list that it's yours. You could sell it as memorabilia.
Yeah, I mean, like, the last Xbox console ever by a former ex-aficionado.
Yeah, yeah, and assign it like a PLC.
Maybe like a angry Sony fanboy will buy it as a war trophy.
Yeah,
war trophy.
Like I got one off the Com Raven.
Interesting idea. I should look at that. But anyways, let's not dwell on, you know, Xbox topics for too long.
Right. Yes. Move on to other important topics. That's fucking cool. The game. I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. This is going to be a big thing. It's going to be the Game Pass is only going to get bigger.
Definitely, and I think, like, hear me out. It might sound crazy, but I think it's even going to get bigger without Busty shilling it every week on this very fine podcast right here.
Yeah, and then we'll finally get all those sweet checks.
You mean like people from the Czech Republic?
That's the only checks we can expect. Just like, hey, I love your Xbox Game Pass commercials. You mean the podcast? No.
So, some other piece of news that made me a little bit melancholic, Richard.
Oh, what's got you down?
Is that last week Blizzard announced the end of content development for StarCraft 2. Admittedly, after decades, because it's hard to remember, like I had to remind myself actively of that Wings of Liberty, the first game in the StarCraft 2 trilogy, came out in summer of 2010, so it's been like 10 years. But still,
is it okay to call StarCraft 2 a trilogy?
Yeah, sure.
Does each of the chapters, each of the campaigns of StarCraft 2 were as long as, or had as much as the whole StarCraft 1, for example?
That I don't know, but they were all quite...
I know they were released.
I think they were like, you know, like 20 hours or so of campaign playtime each.
Oh, shit. Okay, yeah, that makes fucking sense. All right.
So they are really quite big. Like, okay. Yeah, I remember like when they announced that they're going to split them into three games with the campaigns. Yeah,
everybody was
like,
what the fuck?
These fucking greedy fuckers. Of course, that was before I worked in the industry, you know, so
yeah.
I call people greedy. Now I'm like, well, there's two sides to everything, such as my bank account.
Yeah,
and your
you get fucking paid. Yeah. One of those
big,
I can get over.
I feel that made like a big, you know, big difference in my mind. But yeah, like they're really quite medium. What I really like with all of them is that each of them has like a completely separate like metagame progression and like setup. So like in the first one with Jim Raynor, you know, you're flying around in your own spaceship. Like in between, you can go to the cantina, you can have drinks with people, hang out by the jukebox, talk to people. You can, because you're a mercenary, of course, you can like take on different missions that give you money or access to new units. When you are playing as Zerg in Legacy of the Void, you know, you earn like when you do special mission objectives, so you earn like mutation points that you can upgrade some of your units with, because, you know, like it's they're just bugs, right? It's like, here's some mutation, now you can fly, congratulations bug person. So I think like they really put on a ton of effort, and they're like, they really do feel like each one of them is a worthy standalone single player campaign for a real time strategy game in my mind.
Interesting.
So yeah, I have to, you know, posthumously, retroactively apologize. Sorry, Blizzard, for calling you greedy towards my brother, what, like 13 years ago or something? I don't know.
So what's so sad about this old game going, like they're going to stop making it?
So, you know, like we did a episode about the real-time strategy genre, and it's like,
genre,
you know, like slow decline earlier this year. And you may remember from that pretty much in the 90s, like, you know, there was the holy trifecta of real-time strategy gods.
Right.
You had Westwood with the Command & Conquer series. You had Ensemble with Age of Empires, and of course you had Blizzard with StarCraft and Warcraft. Mm-hmm. Now Westwood has been dead for a long time. Ensemble has been dead for a long time, which is kind of weird. Like, you know, these days I'm sure Microsoft would be happy to have them for Xbox Game Pass. But, you know, such is life.
Sooner or later, we're all going to be collected for Xbox Game Pass.
Exactly. I can't wait for them to buy me.
Yeah.
And now, you know, with Blizzard, like, at this time, officially, you know, of course, you don't know what's happening behind closed doors. But officially, now, you know, Blizzard has also kind of left the real-time strategy genre. There is no new upcoming games in development. So it does feel like, you know, kind of like the end of an era there. And, of course, as I mentioned previously, when I first started playing PC games, I almost exclusively played real-time strategy games. That was my jam for like 3, 4, 5 years. Mm-hmm. So that's a bit sad, you know, to see the last one of the remaining giants of that era ostensibly leave that genre as well.
Are they doing any weird shit with free-to-play, or am I just misreading memes?
StarCraft?
Yeah.
StarCraft multiplayer has been free to play for a couple of years.
Okay.
Like, you can play the entire like multiplayer suit as a free to play game. Like, the campaign, I think the first campaign, like Wings of Liberty, is also free, which again, it's excellent if somebody's interested. Just
okay.
Your listeners, please go grab, play that for free. The other two campaigns you have to buy as essentially DLCs, I guess. And they, for a while, they really supported as a co-op game, like where they put out a lot of different co-op commanders, you know, which have like different units and special abilities, so you always played with another player. Essentially a skirmish game, but then they also had like always a, like, what do you call it? I think like weekly mutators, like, you know, like special conditions. So this week, you know, there's these special rules in game or so for the co-op mode to keep that fresh. So like they did definitely try new approaches to, you know, to monetize an RTS game outside of the classic, please give me $60, here's a new game. Yeah, but I guess, you know, like that only worked for so long. Again, you know, like 10 years, of course, is a long time.
But 10 years, yeah. A long time, man. But, you know, I guess literal end of an era, huh?
It does feel like an end of an era at this point, yes.
Bummer.
Thanks, Busty.
Thanks, Basty.
Busty.
Fucking Basty.
So you remember when, like, 5 minutes ago when I said that's enough Xbox news for today?
Mm-hmm.
Let's switch to some Xbox news. How about?
Oh, love it. More Xbox news.
Xbox.
You're talking somebody who may have pre-ordered an Xbox.
No, I'm just excited for, like, you know, people who've pre-ordered an Xbox, like Busty, or like our faithful listener Steve, for example.
Is that a real person?
He's very excited. Yes, yes. Steve is a real person. Busty also didn't want to believe in that Steve is a real person, so Busty sought him out on Twitter and followed him.
No fucking way, because, like, Steve is always the name that I use when I just want to make up a fake person.
Like, hi, my name is Steve. I do the Minecraft.
Yeah, like, whenever I blame Steve, if you're listening, whenever I blame Steve for something, that's fictional Steve who I just make up all the time. Not you. Write me on Twitter if you want to be blamed for stuff.
But Steve is British.
Yeah, sure. I mean, Steve knows no nationality or creed or color. He's just a fuck up.
Like the timeless fucked upness of Steve.
Fucking Steve, man.
God damn it, Steve.
Tell me about Xbox things.
They have announced in their own words, the largest lineup in Xbox history for the launch of the Xbox Series X and the Xbox Series S, saying it will launch with 30 games playable on day one, 20 of them via smart delivery, being upgraded, you know, like with a variety of cool upgrades for the new consoles, and of course access to thousands of backwards compatible titles across 4 console generations. Still no Mac Assault. What the fuck, Microsoft? You fucks.
So, 30 new games.
You want to hear the list?
Should I go? I'm looking at the list, but go ahead. You can give the audience the list.
These 30 games that are, you know, optimized to play on day
Keep
one
in mind,
Xbox,
just I'm just saying, yeah, that they said will launch with 30 new games.
No, it says 30 games fully optimized.
I'm sorry, it says the Xbox Series S and Xbox Series X will launch with 30 new games playable day one. Or am I reading that wrong?
Where that is from.
I I could be reading things.
Oh, yeah,
wrong.
Actually,
I'm
no,
dyslexic.
True. That's what it says here, yes.
Okay, so 30 new games.
That's what it says here, yeah.
Okay. And what do we got?
The games they listed are Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
That's
Borderlands
fucking new.
3,
that's not.
Bright Memory 1.0.
Don't even know what that is. Why does that sound
that
familiar?
Really cool looking, like one Asian person working on a shooter that they showed
Yeah, that shit.
So
looks
it's cool. Like it's been on PC for a while.
Okay, so
but new on console.
New on console.
Right, Cuisine Royale.
That's starring Daniel Craig. He shoots a bunch of people. I know that.
It is also Eva Green in there.
Yes.
Yes, best game ever. I'm going to pre-order an Xbox now.
Okay.
Dead by Daylight.
Not a new game.
Devil May Cry 5 Special Edition.
Look, man, just because you put the DLC in the game, not a new game.
Dirt 5.
I can't tell. I don't know which dirt we're on. That might
be. Dirt 5 is a new one.
That might be the
coming
up
this holiday.
That's
the one that has 120 FPS on Xbox.
We could be on Dirt 32 for all I fucking know.
Enlisted.
Yes.
Which is not a comment about your life choices. It's about a video game.
All right.
Evergate.
Never heard of it.
I think it's a space game.
Ooh, I love space
games. Falconeer, which looks cool.
Yeah, I've seen that. That's the Disney movie with the guy with the rocket pack. Got it.
Very good. Fortnite.
New game Fortnite. Love it.
Forza Horizon 4.
Also new. Brand new. Forza Horizon 4.
Gears 5.
Never. When did Gears 5 come out? Obviously never. It's a new game.
Well, they've done like a ton of like work improving this one. It's like really quite impressive technically.
Oh, well, So yeah, you have to, you know, feel free to fight my nitpicky bullshit with stuff like that, because that's actually interesting.
Gears Tactics.
Also, unfortunately, not new, but I love what those scrappy
new on
guys.
Console.
Love what those scrappy guys of Splash Damage are up to. Okay, new on console, that counts.
New on console. And it's got a new character you can play with, Jack.
Like, is he a Gears character?
He's the robot from Gears 5.
Please rate the Gears characters that you mention as cooler or lamer than Baird.
So we got to be careful here, Richard, just so you know, because like our dear listener Steve, whom we previously discussed,
yeah.
He is a die-hard gearhead, a cockhead.
Uh-huh.
Hey, so, you know, we have to tread carefully here.
Hey, Baird's pretty fucking lame.
Baird's my favorite character in Gears, honestly.
I didn't play his own spin-off game. So was the other guy.
And Baird is what would happen if somebody was like, hey, let's make a character that would appeal to Marcel in Gears.
How do you fucking frost your tips in the apocalypse?
There's a time and a place for everything.
Yeah, Good thing we can't go out at night because there's death bats. I'm going to need these sunglasses, goggles, steampunk ass Baird. God, fucking Baird sucks.
Well, what if he wants to go swimming?
Yes. What if he wants to go swimming? I wish he would swim out of my fucking memory.
Nice. Just scrolling through Twitter because I can't be bothered to listen to your bullshit. It seems that some former Blizzard veterans have formed a new studio to work on a new RTS game. So that solves that question, I guess.
That is fucking dope.
It's called Frost Giants.
That is also Studios. A decent name.
Other new games on Xbox,
brand
Series
new
X,
games.
And Series S for launch. Grounded.
Not new.
It's an early access, so it hasn't launched yet. So it's actually a future game.
Shut
it's
the fuck
come
up.
Out next
God
year.
Damn it, that is such a cop-out.
Think about it.
Uh-huh. Okay, so then take it off the list, because it's a non-game, right?
It looks great, though.
I love it. I think it looks really cool.
King Otball, that's you.
Don't know what that is.
Never heard of this game. Maneater.
Watch out, here she comes.
Maneater has scored very, very positively with the much sought after Asia audience.
Oh, wait. Is this the...
It's a short game.
That shit looks fucking dope. Maneater's cool, but that's been out. That's not new.
But it's getting like an upgrade, I think, with ray tracing.
Okay.
So like when you eat people underwater, it's prettier. Manifold Garden.
Not new.
I don't know. NBA 2K21.
God fucking damn it.
Now with added in-game commercials since last week.
Love the unskippable in-game commercials.
I think, like, you know, people have raised a very good question. Like, with these new consoles, with the SSDs, there should ostensibly not be any loading times. What is going to happen here? Are they going to force people to sit through the ads that would take longer than the normal?
They are forcing them to sit through them anyway, so yes.
Isn't that kind of scummy?
I would say a little scummy. That is lamer than Baird.
Dude, what's your problem with Baird? Baird's cool.
I'm just making it a thing. Lamer than Baird. I'll put that on a t-shirt.
I would buy it.
I'm with Observer. Baird.
System Redux.
So again, I dug into this. I don't think this is a full sequel. I think this is just more Observer, which is awesome. So,
Ori and the Will of the Wisps.
That's not new, but aren't they doing like fucking like RTX audio?
120 4K, I think.
They're doing something weird with the with
also
the
music, something so. With audio. Yes.
Yeah, something real cool with the audio.
Planet Coaster.
That's not fucking new.
Sea of Thieves.
God damn it.
Tetris Effect connected.
Isn't that just regular-ass Tetris Effect, but with multiplayer?
Well, that's a new game, then. It's connected now.
Yeah, we're all connected. You know what's all connected? None of these games are fucking new.
The Tourist.
How is that spelled? Is that how they spell it in fucking Brixton?
I don't know.
Is and that I've like Tyre?
I've been to Brixton, but I don't know if they spell it like that.
Is that like Tyre?
But nobody pointed any guns at me, so I was kind of disappointed. You know, like, yeah. I would have expected the guns of Brixton, but...
No, no guns.
War Thunder.
You motherfuckers.
Warhammer Chaos Bane Slayer Edition.
I don't know what that is.
It's the Warhammer... I can't remember if it was Age of Sigmar or if it's still like in the world it was. Action RPG like Diablo-esque that came out last year, but it's still a new game now.
Oh, yeah. The one that came out last year, but it's a new game. Got it.
Watch Dogs Legion.
That is actually new.
WRC9 FIA World Rally Championship.
Like I said, I don't know which dirt we're on, so...
It's a different game.
Oh. Did Codemasters Yakuza, make it?
Like Dragon.
That's new.
Yes, Your Grace.
Thank you. You're welcome. That game's not fucking new. The majority of those games aren't new. Just say the thing, man. Like, don't fucking try to tell people. I hate that shit. Like, you got thousands of games. It's like, how many have I played? And they're like, most of them. The ones you wanted to, for sure. I'm like, okay. Like, it's okay. Just say it. Microsoft.
No, man, it's best that's 30 new games here.
So they must be new.
And of course, you know, like in the first week or so, there's a lot more great stuff coming. There is Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War.
Yeah, you're feeling that,
Beyond
right?
Beyond Lights, new game.
Beyond being a Cold War fanboy, yes, that's your favorite of the Call of Duty branches.
It's the first game called Cold War, so it would be weird as of this point to be a fanboy. I mean, there's PS5 fanboys who would stab other people for liking something else besides a console they've never played in their life. Sure.
The Numbers Mason continuation?
That's Black Ops, that's not Cold War.
That's a different... Okay, that's a different thing, then. Different studio?
No. Well, yeah, kinda.
Okay. So confusing.
So this one, I think the single player is mostly being done by Raven, which is cool, because Raven made kick-ass games in the past, okay. When they still made their own games.
Yeah.
And I think the multiplayer is mostly by Treyarch... And then Sledgehammer, I think, is living like in a box, like chained up in a box in the basement now for Call of Duty development, which is a shame.
Sledgehammer's in trouble, yes.
Because I still think World War II was a great game. It's like the multiplayer I played the most out of all Call of Duties, I believe.
Wow.
I was pretty fucking good with that MP40.
Who isn't?
Mein Leben.
Mein Leben. My life!
There's also Wolfstone. The Medium coming out after a month. There is Cyberpunk 2077 launching a week later. You know, there's a ton of new games.
Yeah, like they should put them on the list.
Titles like Devil May Cry 5 Special Edition.
Can't wait to get my hands on Gears 5. Is Baird in that?
I don't know, to be honest.
All right. Get me away from this story, Marcel.
So you're not feeling it? Okay.
No, I'm all right with it. I'm all right with it. Like, there are some cool upgrades, and I really like that at least one console isn't walking back its backwards compatibility promises every day until they just say, just kidding, it's only for PS1 games or some shit.
Well, then, talking of other consoles.
Yes.
Sony also this week gave us our first look after it was teased by, I guess, Burger King? The Burger King himself?
The Sneak King was very sneaky.
Our first look at the UI of the PS5. And I think the biggest thing that stood out that caused some discussion was the fact that they are offering developers essentially the opportunity to have like more or less a built-in hint system if you want to do that.
How's that
for
work?
Your game? So like you have these things called activities, which can be, I guess, you know, like so if you go to a game in the UI, you can have, if the developer takes the time to configure that, different activities for it, which can be, you know, like play a specific time challenge or play a specific level or try to get a trophy or an achievement or something like that. But it seems like, you know, they can also use that then to set up hints for something. Like if say, for example, like this is an example, okay? Mm-hmm. Say if you were playing new game The Witcher 3.
Brand new game Witcher 3.
And you were getting repeatedly stumped by a monstrous frog boss.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't want me to come over and help you with it.
Right.
What
course.
You could do if CD Projekt were to configure that, they you could be like, hey, game, PlayStation 5 UI, please help me. What should I do? And then, you know, they could, for example, pull up a card that can also be, you know, split screen or like, you know, somewhere on the screen while you keep playing, telling you, hey, if it's a monstrous frost guy full of poison, maybe use an antidote or something.
Then maybe use, you think the advice would be to maybe use potions at all during the entire game?
I don't know. I think like it felt like the way they want people to use this, like in a more specific scenario, not so much, you know, general gameplay tips, but more like, hey, I'm getting stumped at this very specific thing right here.
General gameplay tip being in The Witcher, use, maybe try a potion ever.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's what they would want to do.
Right. It. Yeah, that seems like nobody would be that fucking stupid, right?
I don't think so.
No. That's kind of cool. That's kind of cool.
I wonder, going between. Sorry, go ahead.
I wonder, like, if it's going to end up, because wasn't there a game that did that where you, or was it fucking Stadia that said that you could do that, where it would just be like,
yeah,
you'd like look Stadia up YouTube help and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if that is that what they're talking about, or is it like the developers are going to be like, hey, here's a fucking tip.
No, like it should be something like that. Developers can configure, like, you know, with screenshots and text or whatever, or like
they'll
maybe
definitely
clip in there.
They'll definitely use influencers for it. Somebody will.
But also, it feels like one of those things that sounds like, you know, very cool pre-launch. And I'm sure that, like, at least for the first couple of years, like, a lot of Sony games are going to use it to promote the functionality. But also, you know, I'm not sure if we look back at this in 3 years, how many third-party or multi-platform games will have used it.
Honestly. Dude, this is it's fucking like boss. Things, right? Think about it, man. Like, look, all right, hey, I'm the CEO of game company, okay?
Are you Bobby Kotick?
I'm Bobby Kotick, all right? So I'm the day that this feature launches, I'm walking in and I'm saying, okay, hey, gather around, community team. Gather around, gang. You're fucking fired. I just got my cousin Slobo, and he's over here, and he just fucking looks for YouTube guides from Eric's Gaming, who, like, tells everybody what's coming up in the game, and I just fucking link those videos, so get the fuck out. Moneyball.
Great videos, though.
Moneyball.
I love checking out his stuff.
Eric's does do great stuff, but that's the thing, like, right? Like, wouldn't you do that? Like, hey, why would I bother putting out my own shitty timeline for upcoming Monster Hunter quests on a fucking 480p JPEG when I could just get Eric's to pop out a fucking 20-minute video and do it better than my community team has been doing for the last, you know, 4 years?
I guess, you know, it's like the question is what, you know, how it's set up. Like, I'm sure you, like, need access to, like, some back-end stuff that, you know, maybe you don't want non-employees to fiddle around with. And
no, I'm saying as the employee. Like that, but
yeah, you know, like, again, you know, it's, if it's something that should be there, you know, for example, like, when you go into a certification or so, then you
Oh, yeah,
normally
yeah, yeah.
You wouldn't have anybody play your game, right? Unless
that's a good point.
Unless you raise a stable of influencers in your basement to just do that for you.
We have to get Eric's in here early then. No problem. I can pay Eric's now that I've fired my entire community team. Bobby Kotick, Moneyball. Put an ad in it.
Fucking Bobby Kotick.
Fucking Bobby Kotick.
And well, the last thing here is that we want to discuss today.
Yeah.
Or did you have anything more to say on the UI?
I didn't. I looked at it a little bit. It looks like a PlayStation UI.
Do you think like some of your people are going to have an aneurysm, like if they put in like any hints or like tips into Demon's Souls, and they're gonna like your people are going to be like, this like cheapens my experience.
On the real, I think that it would only bother me if it is obtrusive. Like if it's something you could look up, then who gives a shit? Because you can do that anyway. But like, the same problem I had with Doom Eternal is the same problem I had with Far Cry, I think it was like 4, where in both of those games I was rounding the corner to fight a big evil boss that sounded really cool, and then just before I got to see him, a tutorial popped up and told me what he was going to look like and how I should fight him. And I thought that was super fucking lame in both of those games, like highly negative points. Yeah, you could turn it off, but I mean, it by default, it is on, so like the first time I was going to fight like the fucking cool tiger in whatever Shangri-La shit that I was going through, and I was going up those eternal stairs, it was just like, hey, you're about to fight the tiger. He moves around in a circle, so here's what he looks like, and trying to shoot him. I was like, this is fucking the worst way to introduce that character to me. And yeah, Doom did the same shit. I could have turned it off, but they should have turned it off. So if it's unobtrusive and smart, I think it's a fucking cool feature. It is turning me off thinking about it. But yeah, if it's like weird pop-ups and shit, I don't think anybody's going to dig that. I think more than my people will have a problem with that.
So here's something completely different.
Yeah.
While you were talking, I misclicked,
God damn it.
I clicked on in the list of Xbox games.
Yeah.
I clicked on Cuisine Royale, and
yes,
honestly, I thought it would be something like Overcooked.
Yes.
From the name, right?
Yes.
But Cuisine Royale is a brutal multiplayer last man standing shooter with realistic weaponry, mystic traps, and demonic rituals. And the D is missing. And hey, it's free.
And hey, it's free. But you can buy the...
Honestly, I expected like something you know, nice and like family friendly. I didn't expect demonic rituals in a brutal multiplayer last man. If only there was like another name for like multiplayer last man standing shooters.
Man, it's free, but you could for just $20 buy the starter pack, which is everything you need to start the game successfully with one purchase, and it includes the Weird West Stories book, the Plague Doctor mask, and 1,000 golden crowns.
Plague Doctor masks.
You'll immediately get two outfits and a red scarf mask. And you can pass unique challenges for 2 months. What the fuck is this?
Well, this is from Gaijin. I think that's the same people as War Thunder, right?
Oh no.
Yes, new game War Thunder that's launching on the Xbox.
Glorious Nippon Steel.
Anyways, talking of Nippon stuff.
Yeah.
Sega is currently celebrating its 60th anniversary, and with a variety of things.
Yeah, Sega.
Obviously, you know, Sega has had a crazy history from in the 80s being Nintendo's main competitor. I don't know if you knew this, but like Sega did what Nintendo didn't. Don't. Sega were cool.
Sega does what Nintendo don't.
Yeah, but like that doesn't work in a past form, does it? Mr. Native Speaker. Does
Sega
it?
Sega didn't what Nintendo didn't. Sega durst what Nintendo thirst.
Durst? So, I think it's crazy how they went from being the people who did what Nintendo didn't to making a far superior platformer with Sonic to now not doing any consoles themselves anymore. And actually, on the other hand, they're now like one of the most prolific and high-quality publishers of PC-exclusive strategy and simulation games. How did that happen? Explain, Richard. say, what was the first Sega platform you owned?
The first Sega platform I owned was a Game Gear, I guess, technically.
Which one was that? Was that a Game Boy?
Yeah, like, yeah, it was the portable. It fucking sucked, but it was in color. So back then, like, I was way into it.
Made it suck.
It's not. I don't know. The games were not great. I think it actually turned me off from a lot of portable handhelds. But at the time, I had to have it, and I did enjoy it while I had it. I remember the Sonic game actually being kind of decent. And the Ren and Stimpy game being not, which I should have known better. I just should have known better.
Why? Like, why should you have known better? Like, to this day, you don't strike me as the know much person. So what? Why? I think you're being too harsh on your past.
Yeah, it could be. I was young, but no. So I mean, the first Sega platform that actually really mattered to me was the Dreamcast, and that would be, you know, ill-lived. But I really liked the fucking Dreamcast. I liked all the dumb shit about it, so maybe I didn't learn anything.
I mean, the Dreamcast had one of, like, you know, I don't know if it was a launch game in Japan. I know it was a launch game when it came to Europe, and I still feel it was one of the best launch games, you know, for us at least, there forever. And that was Soul Calibur, because I was completely blown away by the graphics at the time. Like, that was mind-blowingly good.
Dreamcast was like the place for fighting games. It was fucking really good. It had the best version of Alpha 3. Marvel vs. Capcom 2 was dope on that shit. Power Stone was fucking cool. There's a ton of shit out there. I think Capcom vs. SNK was on there. It was a fucking great game. Like, there's a lot of good fighting games on the Dreamcast. I enjoyed that shit. It's more than just Sonic fucking Adventure. But, yeah, ill-lived and rife with piracy.
Oh, they had, like, the... What was it called? The VMU or something? The video memory unit or some stuff like
that? Yeah, that shit was dumb, but I was way into it. So it was like a memory card with like a Tamagotchi screen on it, and like you could play mini games and like manage your fucking memory in it. But like, yeah, it had like a Sonic Adventure mini game where you would like raise the little cutesy KOs or whatever you call them, and you could also connect it to another memory card and play little like games, like connecting up two Game Boys, you know? So that shit was kind of neat.
With link cable?
No, like, you just plugged them into each other, so you had to stand uncomfortably close.
That's the one in 2020. There's
fucking Dreamcast had Seaman, and that shit was there. Dreamcast got weird, man. Dreamcast is fucking cool. Virtual On. Yeah, there's a lot of good shit on Dreamcast. Until piracy cracked it wide open and it floundered and died. So, yeah, 60th anniversary of that. So, yeah, do you want me to rain on this parade?
As soon as you acknowledge that Sega made one of the best Warhammer games ever with Dawn of War 2, then yes, afterwards you may.
Yeah, man, Sega nailed it with Dawn of War 2. I don't have a problem with Sega. I like Sega. They made Bayonetta.
I keep thinking like that there was a kind of obscure action, like probably like Western action game or something on a 360 that I loved and everybody hated, kind of like how I think that Dark Void is one of the best games Capcom ever made, but I can't remember what it was.
Sega 360.
I was Viking
game?
Battle for Asgard from Total War guys from Creative Assembly. That was a great, fun action game.
Yeah.
Where you stab people as a Viking, leading me naturally to new Xbox Series X game Assassin's Creed Valhalla coming out.
Oh my god.
So anyway, Binary Domain was also, but like everybody says that's great, but I never played it because it looked weird and weep. But you like it, I bet, right?
Binary Domain? No, I don't think I played Binary Domain. That's the one with the voice commands, right?
No.
Is that not the one with the voice commands?
Oh, that's Tom Clancy's End War.
Yes, Binary Domain is the one with the fucking voice commands. It's a really great giant bomb video if you want to check it out. But you could, like, you can tell your your team to like get into cover, like I need ammo, you just shout it into the fucking mic. Yeah, That's the thing.
I didn't know that. I just keep seeing, like, it usually it feels like binary domain is brought up with people in the same breath as what was it? What was the like the super active, lots of motion Gears of War ripoff, where like, what? You slip
fuck off corner. Vanquish? You mean Vanquish, yeah. You mean Gears of War Correct?
Does it have Barret? No, it does not.
No, which makes it a fucking million times better. That fucking game, Vanquish, is so goddamn good.
You talk a big deal when you're far away from me.
Vanquish is so fucking good. I'm coming. We can meet. You can cash me outside on fucking Vanquish.
Can we meet at McDonald's? Get some spicy nuggets.
Get some spicy nuggets.
We stab each other.
Hey man, the glasses are back, so we gotta go.
Nice.
Yeah. All right, so let's shit all over.
Go for it.
Not really. I'm not doing the shitting this time, because I actually thought this shit was pretty cool. Sega put out four free games this weekend that were only available for free this weekend.
Can you please pronounce properly the name of the brawler?
Oh, it's Streets of Kamurocho.
Are you sure that's how you pronounce it?
Kamurocho, yeah.
I have to check again. It feels like you're missing a few letters in there.
No, it's Kamurocho. It's the fucking city from Yakuza.
I know it's the city from Yakuza. That's why I asked you to pronounce it, you know, because, like...
Don't be weird.
I know that you're into that weird shit.
It's Kamurocho.
Kamurocho, okay.
Kamurocho.
There was one. There was one from Relic.
Yeah, there was. So there was Streets of Kamurocho, which is Streets of Rage 2 with Yakuza characters on it. There's Endless Zone. There is...
Amplitude?
Yeah. What was the one from Relic? What am I thinking of?
Armored something.
Yeah, Armored. Maybe I spelled it wrong, or I guess I didn't get that one. Armor of Heroes. Which is...
See, it's from the Company of Heroes people, get it?
Yes. Yes.
That was a great fucking game as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. That was pretty good. And lastly, Golden Axe. Which is a Golden Axe demo. Prototype that was put together years ago that never came out. And I think they might have done that. Might have been like, because they did do another 3D Golden Axe. I don't know if that's what led to it, but yeah. Evidently they put out a Golden Axe game, and they were a little cheek about it, because like the initial line was like, the initial Steam page was like, hey, you know, this might be a little janky and it's buggy and it's not great, and they were trying to like make it sound plucky. But while acknowledging that this game is not finished, it's just a slice of the past. And then Tim Dawson, game designer, put out a Mondo thread about this on Twitter, about like a fun industry tale about crunch and having a bad fucking time working on this. He did, I'm pretty sure he did like Assault Android Cactus. So he's,
yes, I believe so.
He's gone on to do other stuff. Yeah. So for him, the story was like, they were pitching games to Sega. It sounds like they were pitching multiple games to Sega, and he was like, I want to do Golden Axe. And ended up getting 2 weeks to do it, which, holy fucking shit, that's not a lot of time to put something together, that is ready for a pitch. But, He tells a story. You can read the thread on his Twitter about how he went into it. But like basically for him, it was a real bad time, lots of crunch. His management kind of messing with him, interfering with his ability to make it. And then when he pitched it, they were like, "Nah, that shit don't look good." So it got canned. So when he saw that it came out, he claims that there was no credits on it, and I'm not sure if there is. I haven't had a chance to play it myself, but he was not credited on it. And
I mean, that kind of makes sense to me, like in the sense of like I think like Sega later, like they put out a statement where they said like, you know, it was not
possible
for them to figure out anymore who worked on that back then. So
right.
I get that part, but yeah, sure, it's still frustrating for him.
So he ends his Twitter rant with "Go fuck yourself, parasites." But Sega updated, like came out and they were like, "Let me just read it because
Can you maybe just read it?
I'll just read it so I don't...
Yeah, maybe just
read it. We certainly didn't mean to dredge up painful memories for Mr. Dawson and his former colleagues or appear disrespectful. We removed the line from the Steam copy that would have been taken as a slur on the development and would like to reassure everyone that it was intended as a comment on the build we had ported to PC, not the quality of the original work. We're hoping lots of fans play the prototype and appreciate the work he and his colleagues put in developing this prototype. Hey, it's a weird story. Like, it's impossible to know the inner workings of any project without being there, which makes listening to people that pretend like they're development experts that know everything industry-wide really weird for me. But, you know, some of this stuff sounds definitely like a non-fun work environment. Like, if you get his thing was weird. Like, he's like, the lead designer didn't know what Golden Axe was and kept kind of fucking with him. Which is weird, because it's like, all right, is he the lead designer of this project? In which case, why? Or is he just, like, part of another project that's just coming by and messing with you, which does sound like a really shit work environment? And then there was, like, this thing where he's like, well, I showed it to management, and they didn't like it, and it's like, dude, that is also a aspect of pitching anything. I can see, you know, it's not fun to have your work critiqued. It's not fun to have it. It's not fun to hear criticism on something, especially if you perceive people to, like, be not qualified to make those statements. But I think I strive personally to be a little more thick-skinned about it. But again, dude, like, I can see a lot of his complaints being accurate. It's just some of that stuff sounded a little odd. You can tell that he didn't like fucking working there. So
yeah, they did something wrong there. It sounded like a very unfun, high pressure.
Right.
But at the same time, I have to say, you know, maybe
it sounds like he really went for it though. Like, he was stoked to do it. Like, he was like, I want to do this and I want to do it my way. And it's like, that's never no game. Unless you're Hideo Kojima, games just aren't made like that most of the time.
Well, I guess you're like, just for like a pitch that two people work on, I guess, you know, you can do it for that.
Yeah, right. But still, two people, 2 weeks, man. I don't know.
But yeah, I think. I still think, and maybe that is selfish, but, you know, we've talked about this, I think, at some greater length in the past, you know, about, like, canceled games and, like, how very secretive this industry is. I think it's super cool to release something like that. You know,
yeah.
I still... I
all four of those. All four of those are fucking
cool. Say, hey, you know, this thing is janky. I personally didn't take that as a
slur.
But, you know, like, of course, you know, like, personal. I'm not involved like that gentleman was. So, of course, yeah. You know, for him, it is actually a personal thing. Sure. But yeah, you know, like, to say, hey, this is a prototype that people worked on for 2 weeks. In a way, in a perfect world, I think you wouldn't have to say that it's janky, because that should be obvious to everybody after 2 weeks of working on the prototype.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, reading this, I would have at no point thought to myself, oh man, they were like really shitting on like the work of that team. It's just like, yeah, you know, it's like they're explaining to gamers that a prototype is janky.
Yeah, the consumer does not know that. Yeah, the consumer does not know that.
So yeah, I guess I can see both sides of that. But yeah, like
I
reading it, it certainly didn't struck me as a comment about, you know, the quality of the work of the team. It's just like, it's a prototype. Of course, it's going to be janky and broken or whatever.
But that's, you know, you'd be surprised, because like I've also been in my fair share of pitch meetings where people don't understand that unfinished is unfinished. Like, I can see that is a frustrating thing. Like, if you're like, hey, I'm going to show you this thing. It ain't fucking finished. The art's not here. It's broken. And the first thing they'll be like is like, you know, the art's not really there and it's kind of broken. And it's like, thank you. I've had that happen, so I can see where that can be frustrating. But man, I think the industry lesson there is like, man, just detach from that. Like, people will give you criticism, pick out the wheat from the chaff, and roll on. And he's done it, obviously, because Assault Android Cactus is fucking cool, and he's doing his own thing. So, Tim Dawson seems to be doing fine, and I hope that it's like, this is definitely a painful memory that seemed like a real shit place to work, if I'm being honest, but yeah, I thought that was interesting. But the
it did sound like a little bit like, you know, the way he described that pitch and like somebody who doesn't really get it but wants to be in charge, like sabotage.
Yeah,
it did seem a little bit, you know, like the cliche horror story of like, you know, how game development
exactly
used to work, like, you know, and then you have executives who don't get it and like want something completely different.
Yeah,
and don't understand working. It did sound very much like, yeah, that's
like,
you know,
this shit's all plausible.
How people imagine, you know, like shitty game work environment too.
I'm not doubting the overall aspect. Like I said, I'll nitpick some stuff, but yeah, like I wasn't, there's none of those, the things that he mentioned where I was like, this doesn't seem like it could happen ever. It was all just like, this seems like a shitty place to work. We know what that feels like. I'm glad you're in a better place. But yeah, that team's probably different now, gone now, you know, whatever. Even if the building's still there, it's totally different today, but
yeah,
it's cool.
That's like the same thing, like, you know, with the fuck off parasites. I mean, sure, if you're like, you know, worked up, you can say that, but I doubt any of the people, you know, who at least, you know, from the outside, my guess would be that somebody was just like, came across it and genuinely thought, hey, this would be a cool thing to release for the community, you know, to show something that didn't happen for the anniversary. I strongly doubt that anybody, you know, involved in the process was like, hey, that's where those guys crunched for 2 weeks. Yeah, let's fuck them over.
Right. Yeah, let's embarrass these guys. Did not seem like the intended thing, but I know that's the one that kind of drew headlines on that. But it was neat that they gave away free games, even if it's a little weird that they only did it for a weekend. But you know, cool little celebration. They gave away a bunch of shit and put their box art on all their old games on Steam. That was kind of weird, but yeah. Sega 60.
Yeah, they got some really cool, like, you know, for Sega style box arts you can download, like alternative box arts you can download, you know, for, hey, this looks like a Mega Drive Warhammer game now.
Right, yeah.
That's pretty cool, actually.
That shit was neat. So happy birthday, Sega. Get back to making Yakuza games, god damn it.
Have you ever noticed how nobody brings it up, but I think Yakuza is pretty much an annual franchise at this point, right?
Pretty much. Has been for a minute, I guess, if you think about it. I mean, if you count...
It has.
If you, we've got a new product with Yakuza on its name, then yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but I would push it, too, like, because they got, I mean, the Kiwami stuff splash big in the West, so time to, like, they were saying that, they were like, yeah, look, we know what Yakuza normally sells, and, like, it's the Zero... And Kiwami stuff is a boost on that, so more power to them. Those games are fucking cool.
Well, maybe. Well, unfortunately, I can't play one in the future. I would have said maybe if it also comes to PC Game Pass, I can maybe play one in the future.
Maybe one of these days when Sega assimilates us all to PC Game Pass.
I think most of the Yakuza games are now on the Xbox Game Pass, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if that includes PC
might
or
be.
Not. Probably
might be
not.
Interesting.
Yeah, a ton of them are definitely. Yeah. I saw it today.
Yeah.
As recently as today, I saw it.
Blame.
So, I'd say not too bad for a Bastiless episode, right?
I mean, every Bastiless episode is better than the alternative, right?
What's your terms of non-episode?
No, just like having Basti there.
Yeah, definitely better than that.
Boom!
Nobody wants that.
Roasted.
Nobody wants to have to deal with like the kind of weirdo that would pre-order an Xbox Series X. So, Richard, now that you have been promoted to a temporary fixed-term contract intern of the Projector Lunchcast, I hope that we may see you more often in the future again than we
did
like over the summer or so.
I will think about it.
If obsessive compulsive listeners like Steve want to get in touch with you on Twitter, where can they do that?
You can find me, as always, at GoldenFaxed. I fax slurs about people's work to various game developers. I don't think any of them get them because nobody has a fucking fax machine anymore, but one of these days when they hook that shit up, it's just going to be like, whoa,
I'm sure
this
Nintendo
guy
has a fax machine.
This guy zoomed us. Yeah, Nintendo gets them. They write back.
They fax back as well.
Yeah, they were like, please someone explain to us how the internet works. You're the only person that's talked to us in years.
Of course, you can also, as always, send, if you want to, if you have some thoughts, feedbacks, complaints, concerns, insults, disparaging comments about Richard's
beard
work.
Beard fan art.
Beard fan art, always. keep it safe for the family, Steve. You can always send all of that good stuff to us via email to projectalunchcast@gmail.com. You can, of course, also give us a like, follow, subscribe on almost, I think at this point, almost all of the leading podcasting platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and a ton of other stuff I never heard of. Podbean also.
Yay.
You can follow us on Twitter @Plungecast. And Plungecast. I just keep saying this. I think like at this point, I'm just glad I created that account. Even if nobody would ever follow us, just for me being able to say Plungecast once a week, that's great. I appreciate this greatly. Plungecast.
Plungecast.
And of course, you can also talk to me directly @com_Raven on Twitter. If you have any thoughts or like, you know, want to share feedback on Richard's potential future employment status with the Projector Lunchcast, please do so. We are a equal opportunity employer for Richards everywhere.
Yep.
And yeah.
You guys
we'll
love
see,
your
depending
dicks.
On your feedback, we'll see if Richards maybe back again next week. If you keep laughing like that, I'm sending you back to the coal mines.
I do what I can.
In the coal mines. Okay, Richard. It was great having you here. Goodbye to your audience. I look forward to to being listened to by you again next. Yes,
hey,
Richard.
Marcel.
Yes, Richard.
Listen, we all know that Phil Spencer is going to purchase you eventually, but do you think he will put you into the cryo freeze next to Todd Howard, or do you think you're not on that level yet?
That would be too much of an honor.
Frozen Todd Howard.
We the old school. Yeah, old school. We the old school. Yeah, old school. Been getting that money for a girl, sweet as honey. Got me some roses and a little